Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold cut combo, veggie delight, or Black Forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for listening to the Evening Edition. Now, I was never any good at science in school. Physics, biology, especially chemistry, just not my thing. But the kids these days, they've got so much more than just a big, ugly, purple Bukukimia. They've got apps. Well, actually, they've got the world's first role-playing game that also teaches you chemistry. What's more, it's by Malaysians. Uma and Ezra speak with the creators of this revolutionary educational product and find out just what digital games like ChemCaper mean for the average Malaysian student. Check out that podcast once you're done listening to this one. Just make your way over to bfm.my and search for ChemCaper.
In August of last year, Islamic leaders from 20 countries called on the world's 1.6 billion Muslims to take action on global warming. They urged a rapid phase out of fossil fuels and a switch to renewable energy. The Islamic Declaration on Global Climate Change was drafted by an international group of Islamic scholars. It is a call based on Islamic teachings to cut greenhouse gas emissions and one that urged governments to agree on an ambitious deal during December's Paris climate talks. The declaration warned that the current rate of climate change cannot be sustained and the planet's fine equilibrium may soon be lost.
Muslim leaders, the cleric, the ulama, the muftis, the preachers should also have knowledge about the geopolitics, geocultural orientation shifting in the world today. And this is indeed very sad that the Muslim community, 1.6 billion Muslims, are fragile and can be easily divided by the others. And it's the time for us, for the Muslim to unite and to intensify the so-called intra-faith dialogue. There have been many meetings indeed, but I don't know, the tension is also intensifying. Maybe it takes the time. So in this case, there is a need for the wise ulama, the ulama, zuama, Muslim leaders with high wisdom, not to add the fire, the gasoline to the fire, and to be mediating and moderating force. This is a need to implement, concretely the so-called the principle of wasatiyah. Islam is a religion of middle way, middle path. The principle of wasatiyah, that the Muslims is ummatan wasata, the people of the middle way. And I think Muslims from Indonesia, from Malaysia, have to be in the avant-garde to disseminate these ideas.
Eureka?
Eureka!
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 You're listening to Eureka on the Evening Edition, and on the show today, Ezra and I are speaking to one of those Islamic leaders who put out the call. Din Shamsuddin is the chairman of the Indonesia Ulama Council, and we caught up with him on his way back from Paris, where he attended COP21, that big global gathering on climate change.
Din, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So I guess we want to first talk about this issue about climate change, and we'd love to hear what your thoughts are. And I guess everyone around the world seems to be talking about it. Policymakers, world leaders, the media has specific buzzwords every time a news story is being told. But I think there's also a sense that we've oversold on the science behind climate change. I think people are tuning out. Is it a case that we superficially care about climate change, but not enough to change our lifestyle, to change the way we do business? Tell us why climate change is important to the man on the street.
I just arrived and stopped by in Kuala Lumpur from Paris after attending the first 5 days of the COP21, which is the United Nations Climate Change Conference, attended by more than like 40,000 people, both from the government, NGOs, private sectors, media, and others. Of course, this conference is very important for us, international community, today, since the international community has faced the very threatening problems, which is climate change and global warming. I think it has shown in many countries, lastly, extreme heat in Pakistan, India, Egypt, there are dozens of death toll, including a long winter in Europe, in America. To my observation, gladly that today climate change and global warming has become a common enemy of all, regardless of nationality, races, and religious affiliation. And that's why all elements of the international community, as far as I know, the religious communities, are seeing the problem is a common enemy, and that's why they are feeling now need for collective responsibility, for collective solution to the climate change. From religious point of view, especially Islam, that climate change, global warming as part of ecological collapse is indeed a moral problem. It's derived from immoralities, especially when human beings perceive that the nature is an object rather than subject. From a theological point of view, the nature is indeed a subject created by God as human being, but need to be preserved and restored by human being. And that's why we need to launch what I call it moral movement for climate solution. One and part of them is to change our lifestyles.
So, but then I guess to get people going, it was important for you to make this call by way of the Quran. Is that right?
Yes. Because I'm a Muslim leader, no longer chairman of the Indonesian Council of Ulama. Yeah. Since last August, I was appointed and promoted to be the chairman of the Advisory Council of Indonesian Council of Ulama, and I serve as president of Muhammadiyah, the largest and oldest Islamic organization. And of course, from our point of view as a Muslims, as stipulated by the Holy Quran, that many corruption, mischief appear on land and sea are indeed a result of human mischief, human being mischief. And that's why the God, the Creator, will tease part of that in order for them to return to the true path. So this because of humans' behavior. And that's why we need to restore, by restoring a moral orientation of human being, as I said earlier, how to see the nature is a subject, is our place. God was sent human being to live in on earth, but we need to preserve earth, not to destroy it.
After this, we ask Pak Din just where the issue of climate change ranks in the mind of the globalized Muslim. You're listening to Eureka on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Eureka on the Evening Edition. I'm Uma Paganampakevagan. Climate change. Policymakers are talking about it. The media has specific buzzwords every time a news story is being told. There are massive global conferences that dominate the news cycle. But the sad fact is that we've oversold climate science so much that people just switch off. We superficially care about climate change, but not enough to drastically change our way of life and the way we do business. But what about looking at it from a religious point of view? What does religion have to do with climate change? Quite a bit, it seems. To find out more, Ezra and I are joined by Pak Din Shamsuddin. He was one of the Islamic leaders who called on the world's 1.6 billion Muslims to take action on global warming last year.
Islamic leaders like yourself across the world have called on the world's 1.6 billion Muslims to protect the world's equilibrium or mizan in line with religious teaching. But what effect do you think such a call would have given how decentralized Islam is in the world? I guess I'm trying to sort of...
There's no Pope.
There's no Pope when Pope makes a statement, you know, regards to how Catholics should respond to climate change. Yeah. How do we configure that?
Yeah, that's true. Muslims enjoyed egalitarianism because according to Islam, human being is the same. There is the principle of musawa, that God, human being is the same in front of God. But it doesn't necessarily that we cannot unite view from the Muslim all over the world. In many countries, because we have indeed one imam, quote unquote, which is the Quran, and which is the Prophet himself, is, the main reference. And therefore, when the Quran, the Holy Quran, stipulated about al-fasad, the many kind of destruction, and indeed, there are cumulative global damages on the world today, Fasadul alam al-mutarakim, and this is should be believed a manifestation or result of human misdeed and human mischief, and therefore no problem for all Muslims all over the world to give their response. And alhamdulillah, thanks God, in the last 2 months, at the end of September, I had the honor to be part of that. We gathered like 40 ulamas, muftis in Istanbul, Muslim thinkers, and we issued what they call the so-called International Islamic Declaration on Climate Change, emphasizing the very mission of Islam, and also we need to have common responsibility. But this is not only the responsibility of the Muslims, should be common responsibility of all the people of the world, regardless of their religious affiliation.
So, but then, I mean, a practical question for you. You, in your statement, you actually called out the petropowers, the Islamic petropowers, and saying, you know, you have to lead the way. How realistic is it to call out these individuals who've made their money on oil to actually give up oil?
Yes, that's the thing. We decide not only among the Muslims Islamic Forum, but after the Interfaith Summit on Climate Change and Global Warming in New York, jointly organized by Religions for Peace International and the United Nations Sustainable Development Solution Network. I had the honor to be there last year, and followed by a very important meeting at the Vatican, jointly organized by the two organizations together with the Pontifical Academy of Science. And that's encouraged all religious communities as well, the Muslims, the Buddhists came out at the end of the month with their own declaration. And of course, we are going to attract social and public awareness about the impact of this very problem, climate change and global warming. And that's why many religious leaders represent Islam to put petition to the United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon for the at least 2050 to adopt 100% renewable resources, renewable energies, meaning leaving the fossil, the oil, and that should be, fulfilled by many nations. I think during the COP21, still going on until the 11th of the month, I think this kind of issues is among the negotiated issues on the table. We do hope many countries will understand, otherwise we'll destroy our civilization, the world today. And of course, there should be a win-win solution, especially for the developing countries, where they are going now to develop their economy. But we need to encourage as well what they call it green economy. But because economic growth is indeed may have a result on climate change, then preservation, conservation of Earth also have impact on the economy and how to design a new strategy of the human civilization.
We're speaking today to Pak Din Syamsuddin, chairman of the Indonesia Ulama Council, about Islam and climate change. You're listening to Eureka on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Well, you've made it this far, so you're clearly enjoying our program, which means you're clearly going to want to listen to more once you're done with this one. So go on and learn about the future, about using digital games to teach our students things like chemistry and physics and all of the stuff that you and I just couldn't wrap our heads around in high school. Just make your way over to bfm.my and search for ChemCaper.
You're listening to Eureka on the Evening Edition. I'm Umar Pagan, I'm Pike Pagan. The reality of climate change calls for a re-evaluation of our actions and a redirection of our energies towards the reduction or possible reversal of the looming environmental crisis. With that in mind, religious leaders have been called upon to look upon their traditions for any inspiration that could guide us towards averting this global disaster. It is this new demand on all traditions that's forced us to look creatively at the world's religious heritage and reinterpret or reapply sacred texts and principles to our present problem. What you may not know, however, is that the texts of the Islamic religious tradition speak directly on many issues that are pertinent to our problem. Hence, the task for the Muslim expositor here is not so much a reinterpretation of traditions, but mainly a reapplication of old texts to new problems. To further understand how Islamic teachers can help the fight against climate change, Ezra and I are speaking today to Pak Din Syamsuddin, chairman of the Indonesia Ulama Council and Indonesia's representative at the recent COP21 climate talks in Paris.
When we talk about the big issues facing Muslims around the world, and you think about the discourse that is currently out there, at least here in Malaysia, climate change is not on the top of the list. It certainly is not one of the issues that you heard of being spoken at Friday prayer sermons or the khutbah. You instead hear issues like morality or behavior or Muslim unity against this unknown other. How, in your opinion, do you think we can translate the currency of climate change to be something for the masses to engage in?
Yeah, that's true in our region, in Indonesia, maybe also in Malaysia. The problem of climate change has not yet attracted the attention of many people. Maybe we live in a beautiful country, beautiful region, and also with a moderate climate.
But of course, in Indonesia, you had the tsunami experience.
Yes.
And interestingly, that might have been a catalyst point. Yes. For Indonesia to engage this.
Yeah, that's right. Not only the tsunami, but followed by a great earthquake in Yogyakarta, in West Java,
right.
Floods, landslide, and many parts of the world. This all, alhamdulillah, have, you know, create awareness among the society, and that's why the Indonesian Council of Ulama since 5 years ago, more than 5 years, we established what we call it Lembaga Pemuliaan Lingkungan Hidup. We use the term pemuliaan to respect rather than only to conserve, because we need to muliakan, to respect the planet Earth. It's our nature, it's God created. Because God is the most sacred, and all His creatures created, like man, human being, and nature, has also the sacredness. So the nature, like human being, has its own psyche, his own soul. So we need to see it as sacred, to protect its sacredness, and that's why we agreed in addition for that institution, call it Lembaga Pemuliaan Lingkungan Hidup Environment. I took the initiative in September this year to establish one national movement under the name of Indonesia Bergerak Selamatkan Bumi. Indonesia Move to Serve the Earth, acronymized as Siaga Bumi, happened to be literally means Earth Alert, which is indeed a multi-faith collaboration supported by 8 elements of the Interreligious Council of Indonesia, the Indonesian Council of Ulama, MUI, the Indonesian Bishop Conference, KWI, the Indonesian Communion of Churches, PGI, the Parisanda Hindu Dharma, the Buddhist Association Walubi, and the Supreme Council of the Confucianists, and together with two largest Muslim organizations, Nahdlatul Ulama, NU, and the Muhammadiyah, my own organization, we agreed to establish this multi-faith collaboration with the name of Movement, Indonesia's Movement to Serve the Earth. And soon, starting at the end of this year, we are going to launch what we call it Eco-Friendly RI, not Republic of Indonesia, but Eco-RI. RI is Rumah Ibadat, House of Worship. We launch Eco-Masjid, Eco-Church, Eco-Vihara, Eco-Temple.
Wow.
In the sense of to be, greening, not only the building, but also the surrounding, the environment, as well as the sanitation. We start from House of Worship, because this is a moral movement, and we will follow the next year, the beginning of the next year, what we call it, Movement Gerakan Kali Bersih, Sungai Bersih, Clean River, Because, I don't know, in Malaysia, in Indonesia, maybe the Malay worldview, river is the final destination of bad things. Yeah, not only house waste, human waste, and others. And this is, our perception. We need to change the culture that river is source of life, as source of water and water of life. I think it will take time to change this mindset, the minda, perubahan minda. And this is the responsibility of religions. And this is a part of the our plan of action in the near future through this movement. And we may launch maybe a global movement or maybe a regional movement for protecting, for serve the earth.
So, Pak Dien, I think this is a very interesting conversation when we were reading about what you were doing, especially with regards to climate change and even the intra-inter conversations. We don't read much about Muslims in respect to this. And I think these things go a long way to changing the global perception of Islam. So what do you think is your role, and even as a Muslim leader, but also Indonesia's role in changing this? You are the most populous Islamic nation in the world.
Yes.
In changing the conversation regarding Islam at the moment.
Yeah, that's true that we came late, the Muslims world responding to this issue. As I mentioned earlier, we just gathered at the end of August in Istanbul to issue the Islamic Declaration on Climate Change. Despite the fact that Islam is indeed a religion with the Holy Quran called very strongly about to serve the earth, I think in the beginning verses in the Holy Quran, there is an instruction order from God the Almighty for the Muslims to be muslih, meaning to engage in islah, which is restoration, conservation, paying respect to the earth. Not to be mufsid, to engage in al-fasad, destruction. Very strong appeal from the Holy Quran, but to my opinion, it's a self-criticism. This very appeal is much neglected by the Muslims. But now we come out, and that's why we establish a movement from our respective country, maybe to be a global movement. It's an imperative from the Istanbul Islamic Declaration of Climate Change. I'm optimistic that the appeal, because this is the call from God, will be listened by the Muslims, and we may influence the Muslims. And of course, we need to bring the movement down to earth. As you said, we need to disseminate the ideas through khutbahs, preachers. And we are preparing now a written message from each religion, like from Islam, to be printed in a booklet of khutbahs and to be read on Friday prayers, maybe also in other occasions. And we have, thanks to your initiative for the talk show through the radio, dialogue on TVs. So it's a multi-approach movement, and I'm optimistic because, thanks God, we see the climate change is our common enemy.
That was Pak Din Syamsuddin, chairman of the Indonesia Ulama Council and Indonesia's representative at the recent COP21 climate talks in Paris. If you missed any part of this program, you can download the podcast at bfm.my. This has been Eureka on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold cut combo, veggie delight, or black forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.